Chavis Samach Tes Ritzei Vasher Yitzra Yitzrecha. You should want that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, so it makes life much easier. If you want the same thing that you get, you'll be much happier. Samach b'chelchecha imat v'imharbe. Therefore, you'll be samach b'chelchecha, whatever it is. Yischanen l'fanav tamid l'hatus l'vavacha l'edoy sov. And therefore, you will make your focus of your davening will be for the ruchnius aspect, which that's in your control, as opposed to the gashmius aspect, which is not in your control. And in other areas of your life, put the burden on the Kadosh Baruch Hu and let him decide. So that's the first half of the thought. The second half of the thought deals with, you know, Kavod Shabbos, etc. The Hemshech is, we'll talk about the Hemshech, but let's just focus on the first half of the thought. The Baruch Hu made us, as it were, with a koyach of bechira. So the main reason why Baruch Hu made us with the koyach of bechira is that we should choose the right thing. So it comes out that basically, in many ways, what would have been without bechira is we would have automatically done the right thing. So bechira is what generates an option of doing the wrong thing. And our whole goal is to overcome that and do the right thing. So there's almost, as it were, no intrinsic maila to the bechira of choosing ra except to not listen to it. So whenever you say those type of things, it makes it seem to be that you feel like you're missing a layer there. The relationship between a parent and a child, so a parent obviously is much more knowledgeable than the child, and the child might want something, and the parent knows that it's bad for the child, and the parent prevents the child from getting what they want. So the first reaction of the child, as a child, is to be upset. A child that has a level of maturity already will use the opportunity to be misbeinen and to realize how intelligent his parents are and how much they care about him, and they prevented him from doing something which is bad for himself. So the result of a request being denied is not anger, it's appreciation. When the Baruch Hu created an opportunity for us to want something, and then it doesn't turn out the way we wanted it, the result isn't I'm upset at Kadosh Baruch Hu. The result is, if we're thinkers, it's the misbanyan in what was the message that the Baruch Hu was trying to send to me. Why is this better for me? How much he cares about me, even though I don't necessarily understand what's good for me. There's many other messages which can take place in the not receiving our rotzen. So aligning that our rotzen is perfectly with the rotzen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not 100% realistic. But that la'achar ha'maisa, we're going to pursue things which are not necessarily the right thing for us to pursue, because that's what we want. And we're not necessarily going to sit there and be responding, well, the Baruch Hu doesn't want it, stop it. But when the result doesn't work out the way we want to, his burdens which should come with it should turn it into a positive interface with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. There's this concept recently, about 3 years ago, how many years ago? Three, four years ago, one of my close Talmidim in Eretz Yisrael started putting out an Ayin Tovah newsletter. And each week he sends out, you know, the Kura about talking about Ayin Tovah, etc. And then he presents an Ein Tova challenge, a case which something happened to somebody, and see if you can spin it in a positive way as opposed to a negative way. And by the Shabbos Suda, we usually read over the case, and we talk about it at the table to see how could you interpret this story, which happened, which seemingly negative, as being positive. It's interesting to see the different ways that, you know, people respond to it. So one was that, you know, there's always like the futuristic story. Well, you know, it turned out bad, but really, because of this, you end up winning the lottery anyway, and you make $1 million. Like, you know, those, like, you know, where, let's predict the future. Things might turn out wonderful. You know, okay, those are true. Right? Waiting for those is not a good idea, because they don't always work out like that. Fairy tales don't always work out like that. Right? There's always the one who says, well, the lesson is that you don't run the world. So, it's a good lesson. You don't run the world. Right? It's always a positive lesson. Right? There's always the answer, it's a kapara. You know, it didn't work out, it's not a kapara. You know? There's a machshava of stopping to think, I didn't get what I wanted. Is it always good to get what I wanted? Well, doesn't seem anything negative about, you know, having this situation work out, whatever the situation might be. You know, so my cleaning lady, you know, quitted me right as with Chatanim walking in that day, so I have to impress them, and she cleaned, you know, and the house is an absolute mess, and my cleaning lady quits on me. You know, how is that positive? Now, there's a lot of ways that's positive. Maybe you're putting too much stress on cleanliness. Maybe you're putting too much stress on what people think about you. Maybe there's many other ways that can be interpreted that your focus is off. And your father, who cares about you, wants you to refocus. I didn't get the job that I wanted. Maybe that job would have been unhealthy for me. There's a lot of things, a lot of ways we can reinterpret it, what the message is. But the greatest message is always that the Kadosh Baruch Hu loves us more than we love ourselves. And obviously, if he did it, it must be that it's time. And just swallow that, and one day you might find out why it's time. One day you might figure out why it's time. And one day you might find out after 120 years why it's time. But it will be there for sure. There comes a rush. The rush says, it doesn't mean that I don't have a rotzen, and I'm going to overcome my rotzen. I'm holding by the madrega that I'm going to push it, align all of my rotzen in life exactly what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. That's a madrega, which is maybe the Rosh himself. The Rosh wrote this for himself, the truth, you know, as a list of kabbalas for himself. So for himself, probably that was a valid understanding of what it means. But there's a Pnei Yeshua writes a fascinating thing. He writes from a place of Pshat and Rashi, and he says even though I don't think Rashi was makab in this for this Pshat, but this is Pshat and Rashi. So what's he saying? He's saying that Rashi doesn't belong to Rashi anymore. Rashi belongs to Klal Yisrael. The Rosh guided Rashi's pen to write this. I don't know what Rashi was thinking, but that's not really my question. Was the Rosh made Rashi part of Torah Shabbat Peh. So whatever I'm going to take out of Rashi is what the Rosh wanted to take out of Rashi, not what Rashi wanted. So I'm taking out of the Rosh, not to say what the Rosh had in mind, because I'm not holding on the dragon to figure out what the Rosh had in mind. But this is part of the property of Klal Yisrael, because there's a message for me also, besides for the Rosh. The Shiva said over a Maisa. There is the some surface Rebbe, one of his Rebbe was a person named wasn't really a Rebbe. I mean, he was the Rav in Peshmerga before the some surface. His name was Rishul Nigra. Rishul Nigra was a guy out there. The Nesivus was a Talmud of Rishul Nigra. So one day the Nesivus went to his Rebbe. Says, I don't get it. I open up a Rashba, I understand the Rashba. I go to Shir, I don't understand what the Rebbe is talking about. So the Rebbe is bigger than the Rashba. So Rav Sholem Eger answered. He said, "I heard this from Rav Sholem Shadron, not on the tape. I heard from him live, but." he said that the Rosh was so big that he could cloak his words in words which have many layers of understanding. So you understand it, and the Gadol Hador understands it, and then the Vilna Gaon understands it, and the Rosh, each one has their own level of understanding what it means. So what you're understanding is not the Rashi. You're understanding your level of understanding of the Rashi. He says, I don't have that kayak, so I'm just giving over Mishul Megra. And Tak, you don't understand Mishul Megra. You had all the understanding of Mishul Megra. Right? So the Rosh is putting layers here for us besides what he was talking to himself. So that karma maisa, that I should, that should be my rotzen. You know, the person, you ask him what's his dream for life. He says, "Well, I want to serve a Kaddish Baruch Hu, then do nothing else in my life." You know, if a person tells that to you, especially if he's on a shidduch, don't marry them. It's not honest. It's not reality. I like to have kids. Maybe Russia doesn't want you to have kids. Well, but you know, so then I don't want to have kids. Really? You really don't want to have kids? Right? Maybe you're gonna be an oni the rest of your life. You know, you really want to live that you don't know where the next food meal is gonna come from? You don't want that. Right? Well, that's what Russia wants for you. I just want what Russia wants. I mean, really, you gotta be honest. Right? But La'achar Maisa, that's the reality that you're in. That I should sit there and fight it and say, you know what? You know, I wish it was different. And once this becomes the reality, that at least that Madrega person should touch into, that whatever the chelik is, talking the chelik of the financial chelik or the chelik in the person's. My friend has such a wonderful family, and my family is doesn't work out so well. I don't get along with my siblings. You know, my parents. Why couldn't I just? I just wish that life was different. This way, that way, whatever. So Sma Bechelcha covers all of that. That the Bereshim obviously had a dream for you. He had a goal for you. He has a purpose for you, and you're going to fill your purpose and your dream and your goal, and that's the best thing for you through these circumstances. You're not going to be the person who's supposed to. The Bechamah Tzemach writes in one place, he says that Usher shouldn't look down on an Ani, because not because Usher is smarter or better than he get money, not because Ani is worse that he didn't have money. The Bereshim has a plan for the Ani, they plan for the Usher. So the plan for the Usher is different than the plan for the Ani. So Mela, they're given different Caleb. I once taken a step weiter. Now, it's not 100% Nechama, because we don't like, we much rather life should be smooth and easy than it should be great. Yeah, we'll accomplish great things because we have a difficult life. That's true, but I'd just rather be easy rather than, wow, it's so hard and I learned so much and I grow so much and I become such a godly person, now I can change the world. I'd rather just have my hamburgers and eat them. Right, that's our nature. But I once saw a mushal from a person who was a Rebbe, and the boy comes to this class. This boy is smart, he's good looking, his father is very rich, his grandfather is one of the Gedolei Hador, and the kid is totally full of himself. And this is an ongoing problem that, you know, and his father was like the major, he was the head of the board of the school, etc. You know, you shepherd with the kids, you know, you lose your job. He said, you can't, but the kid, he's destroying his life. See, one day he brought in, he walks in one day, he says, tells the boy, I want you to watch this. He brings in three people, he says, we're going to do a test for drawing, to draw something. We're drawing a vase with flowers, etc. So he brings in his five-year-old child and a fourth grader, and one of he was teaching eighth grade, and they pick one of the eighth graders. So to the child, he gives a picture of the vase with the flowers, everything attached. Everything, you know, and pre-made flowers that you attach onto the thing. To the fourth grader, he gives a picture which you can color in, and colored pencils. To the eighth grader, he gives an empty piece of paper. And each one did their job. At the end, the eighth grader made a beautiful piece. He says, so what did you feel like when I gave them? He says, I was a little upset, you know, it's a competition and they're getting ahead, sort of. And then I realized it makes sense, because you give more help to people who aren't as strong. And the less help you give to the people who are better. So he said, so some people, the neshamas, can make it through this world even though they're not so rich and they're not so smart and they're not so this. And some people can't.